Amen. Praise God. Come unto me. That's what we're doing tonight. Coming to Jesus. Just as we are. And we're receiving him just as he is. More wonderful than we could ever imagine, right? Praise God. I was looking at our camp devotional this morning, and there was a song there that was suggested for this day. It's number 160 in our hymn books. Wonderful Words of Life. Let's sing that together. Let's be free in his presence tonight, and let's expect great things from our great Savior. 160. A lot to the Lord if we love his word. And he found that in some of his disciples, most of them weren't so interested in his words as much as his miracles. And when Jesus spoke to them and spoke of the cost of discipleship, the Bible says that many of them turned away and left him. That was a hard saying. Who can hear it? You're asking too much. And then he turned to his disciples. And he said, are you also going to go away and leave me? And Peter said, Lord, to whom else can we go? You have the words of eternal life. Praise God. I'm sure that made Jesus' heart glad. Finally, somebody awakened to the life in his word, the wonder of his word. A reflection of who he is. And somehow Peter got hold of that and the others. And God's still looking for people like that. Oh, everyone wants a miracle, especially when we need one. And everyone can run here and there for all different reasons. But oh, to love his word, to love his word, to meditate in his word, to obey his word. Praise God. That's to whom the kingdom of God comes. And it's in those lives that Jesus is most glorified. And so have you found them to be wonderful words of life yet? I'm sure we have. Oh, we're hungry to hear from him tonight, that he might speak words of eternal life to us. Oh, praise God. Let's sing that chorus one more time. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Beautiful words.
Someone has it?
162.
162 to the melody of
78.
To the melody of 78. I'm sorry, Brother Paul, here. I'm not fast enough. Okay. What was that to? 162. Just testing you. You passed with flying colors. Okay.
How firm.
know, I'm always thinking of skits or plays that we can do in church sometime, and they don't get too far past my brain. You should have been in Canarsie this Christmas. We had an Amish Christmas, and we had our beards and our black hats and our bonnets. It was great. Entitled just, what was it entitled? An Amish Christmas, Just Jesus, Plain and Simple. And it was a blessing to me. Anyway, I was thinking sometimes, having some people on the platform reading books, someone gets up, he's a poet, he wants to recite some poetry for us. But he has an owner's manual for a Honda, and he gets up and he starts reading about the windshield wipers and how to fix the transmission and how to change the oil. Sit down. And then you got someone else who wants to explain something else to us, and they get up and they've got the wrong book too. You know, then you switch it around. If you want to recite poetry, you need a poetry book. If you want to fix a car, you need an owner's manual. And you know, sometimes people do that with the Word of God. They use it in a way that it's not meant to be used. Oh, I can understand that because it's the most fascinating book that man has ever received. It's been given to us by God himself. One time I had a nephew told me that all these people are mentioned in the Bible. Secret code. You got Mussolini, you got Henry Kissinger, you had Obama. All these people are in the Bible. Well, depends on what you ate the night before as to what you see, I guess. But that's not the purpose of the Bible. The Bible isn't a science book. It isn't necessarily even a history book. But the Bible has been given to us to reveal Jesus to us. I like what we hear in our fellowship. All the truths of the Bible are but pathways to the feet of Jesus. Theologians have used the Bible to study God. Theology, the study of God. But if that study doesn't get you to love Jesus more and to surrender your life fully to him and to offer yourself fully to his call, you're missing the point. Jesus doesn't want to be studied only. He wants to be loved. And I find people that love to study the Bible, but they don't find Jesus in it. And that's the purpose of God's Word, to lead us to Christ, make us to see our need of him, to make us to see his all-sufficiency, to help us to reach out for his grace, and to enter into precious fellowship with him. And yes, you do see some wonderful things in the Bible. Scientific things, historical information. Archaeology is discovering things more and more that just prove that the history in the Bible is correct. Sometimes there have been civilizations that the Bible mentioned and people thought never existed, and then one day an archaeologist stubbed his toe on a kingdom and uncovered it, and there it was, just as the Bible said, and so on. And I like the science in the Bible, too. I like to tell the story of how, you know, the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Why didn't the Lord say, as far as the north is from the south? Well, if I was on the South Pole and I traveled north, I could only travel up to the North Pole. And if I took one step more, I'd be starting to travel south again. And that can be measured. I mentioned that and somebody Googled it right away and told me exactly how many miles it was from the South Pole to the North Pole. And if I travel from the north to the south, I can only go as far as the South Pole. And then I start traveling north again. But I can travel east forever. And I can travel west forever. Oh, well, I'd be retracing my steps, but I wouldn't be changing my direction. And so that's why the Lord didn't say, as far as the north is from the south, I've removed your transgressions from you. But he said, as far as the east is from the west, they'll never meet. Well, I hope you're impressed. I'm sure you heard that before. Nothing new under the sun. But all the wonderful words of life, I find Jesus in the Bible. And if I don't find him there, then it's just a book. And if the Holy Spirit doesn't anoint it to my heart, then it's just words. Words spoken by God, but just words. Jesus told the Pharisees, or maybe it was the lawyers, he said, "You do greatly err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God." They prided themselves in what they thought they knew, the scriptures of the scriptures, but they really didn't know. They were missing the whole point of the scripture. They were denying the miracles and so on. And then there are other people that pride themselves and they revel in the power of God. But they get way off base and they get very fanatical because they don't know the scriptures. And so Jesus made us to understand that we need to know the scriptures, but we need to also know the power of God. And so we need the anointing of the Holy Spirit to help us to understand his word. And we need the power of God to enable us to experience it in our lives. And so once again, we find that they're wonderful words of life. And Jesus wants to come to us through his word. I remember when I was attending Bible school for a couple of years, I began to discover how precious the Word of God is. One time we were in a class, and the teacher just read the first chapter of the first book of John, 1 John chapter 1. And after she read it, there was such a stillness that came over our classroom. And she called attention to that. She said, "Jesus reveals himself to us through his Word. And sometimes just reading the Word of God will bring you into his presence." And then I found that out when I had to study. Oh, Jesus began to come to me, melt my heart. I have tear stains on some of the pages. I have coffee stains on some of the pages. I have underlines and so on. Oh, that's exciting. If you haven't experienced that, you ought to pray, "Lord, open your word to me. And reveal Jesus to me. Help me to see you and find you in your word." Oh, what a treasure we have in the Bible. And God wants to make that treasure shine into our lives. And so we need to pray. As we approach the word of God, we need to humble ourselves and we need to pray, "Teach me, teach me, teach me." And then we need to say, "Lord, help me to lay aside my own thoughts and ideas, my own interests, and help me to find Jesus in the word." Hallelujah. Down in Fredericksburg, Virginia, we had an elderly woman named Mrs. Clark. And I'm not going to play it for you now. But she made up a song. You know, she was sick, very sick, she told us. And she was lying there in bed. And the Lord gave her the song. "There's healing in the Word, healing in the Word, healing in the Word of God." Okay, and then she got another verse. "There's victory in the Word." And then the Lord gave her another verse. "There's power in the Word." And then verse 4 was, "Jesus is the Word, Jesus is the Word. He's the Word of God." And boy, when she would sing that with her country twang, and me and Bowie on the guitars, it was nothing like it. When we got ordained many years ago in Ridgewood Church, she came up and Brother Edwin had her come up and sing. So Bowie and I took out our guitars and Sister Clark let loose. And there was such an anointing on that song, as simple as it was. And God used that to raise her up from her very grave illness. And she lived long, long time. I think she's gone, but if I didn't know any better, I think she's still alive. Healing in the Word. Victory in the Word. Jesus is that Word of God. I'm so thankful for that tonight. We really have a firm foundation when we build our lives upon the rock of his word. We read it, we pray over it, and then we, by God's grace, live it. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your precious word. And we thank you, Lord, for the life that is there in the word of God. We thank you that we do find Jesus. He comes to us and reveals himself to us as the living word. Oh God, we pray that you'll help us to love your word. Teach us to love your word. Teach us to obey your word, Lord, that we might enter into the full blessing that you intend for us. And Jesus, we pray that every day we shall feed upon this bread of life. Thank you, Lord. Break that bread to us tonight. Jesus, come. Come through your word, by your presence, into our midst, into our hearts, into our lives. As we partake of you tonight by faith, oh God, we pray that everyone will receive a satisfying portion of our wonderful, life-giving Savior. Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Lord, I worship you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Wonderful Lord. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. More and more about Jesus.
Be free tonight. Tonight's a good night to give thanks for our wonderful salvation, wonderful Savior. Praise God.
Lord is risen on the shore. Lord is
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Something for us tonight, and praise will bring us into it if we really abandon ourselves to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Every one of us can do that tonight. He's worthy of all our praise. He has done great things. That's why we sing it three times, because we're reminded more and more of the great things that God has done. Oh, hallelujah. We praise you for your salvation. We praise you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful?
is why I shout and sing of my soon returning King. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Oh, isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in God's Word. Isn't Jesus my Lord?
I know we're doing a lot of singing, but singing is good.
Hallelujah.
If it's a joyful noise unto the Lord, then we're all right. Number 50. I will praise him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord.